The S&D Podcast Channel, the perfect channel for any style of podcast. We have all different pop culture style podcasts for all of your listening needs. If you would like to start a podcast, you can reach us at sndpodcast@gmail.com. We are always looking for new podcasts to add to our channel, and the topic could be anything you want. So contact us now.
My name is Brian Pillman Jr., and you're listening to Jay's Week in Wrestling Podcast.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to this edition of the Jay's Week in Wrestling Podcast. I am your host. I am Jay, back at you, bringing you all the hits and misses when it comes to professional wrestling. This is episode number 74, and this is a good one because this is your SummerSlam preview show. SummerSlam is tomorrow, Saturday, Ford Field in Detroit, Michigan. I believe that's the location. Yep, Ford Field, Detroit, Michigan. SummerSlam is one of the original big four pay-per-views, which makes it, you know, a big one. It makes it special. It is one of the four originals going along with WrestleMania, Survivor Series, Royal Rumble, and then obviously in SummerSlam. So SummerSlam, which they always build as the biggest party of the summer, main evented by Roman Reigns defending the undisputed Universal Heavyweight Championship against his cousin Jey Uso in the continuation of the Bloodline Civil War. Only this particular match is being billed as Tribal Combat. Now, I'm not 100% sure what that entails. I am recording this show before the Go Home SmackDown show to the premium live event. So maybe more info will come out this evening on what Tribal Combat is and what will it entail. It's definitely going to be no disqualification. It's probably just another gimmicky word for no disqualification. Anything goes, probably false count anywhere. Who knows what type of weaponry is going to be involved. There's probably going to be a slew of interference from different people, different family members all over the place. But I will get into all my predictions for the main show. This is going to be a very quick, somewhat a condensed show today. I will talk about my predictions for SummerSlam. I will talk about NXT Great American Bash that took place, and a very quick update that we got this week about All In for AEW coming up later on this month. They actually have one match listed, and it is for the AEW World Championship, and we'll get into that in a minute. Now, as you heard, just a quick little tidbit. It's not probably the biggest news of the week. However, it's something that did come out just a little bit ago. You heard Brian Pillman Jr. on my little shout out there. Brian Pillman Jr. is headed to NXT. His AEW contract was not renewed, and apparently word got out that he will be coming to the Performance Center at the end of August. He should be fully probably moved out to Orlando, and he will be reporting to the Performance Center. Now, AEW didn't really use Brian Pillman Jr. to, I guess, his best abilities. I don't know. They tried to rehash the Hollywood Blondes of some sort with the Varsity Blondes with himself and Griff Garrison and Julia Hart, who betrayed them and became a touted member of the House of Black faction. But what can the WWE machine do with someone with the lineage of a Brian Pillman Jr.? Could we see the birth of the new Loose Cannon? You know, he kind of had that gimmick in MLW when he was with the Next Generation Heart Foundation faction with Davey Boy Smith Jr. and Teddy Hart, and he seemed to have some success there. He kind of lost it in AEW. Yeah, I mean, like I said, they probably didn't. The AEW is so oversaturated, but that's a conversation for another day. He's still very young. He has the physical abilities. It's just, we will see with the WWE machine if they can create either recreate what Brian Pillman did, which is something that's not easy to do, because something that his father had was the ability to make you feel and to make you think he was really insane, to make you think he was really crazy. You know, that was the gift that Brian Pillman had. Can his son tap into it? We'll see. But, yeah, he is coming to the Performance Center. He is coming to NXT. And we'll see what Shawn Michaels and the guys down there could do with him. Let's see if he'll end up on the main roster within a year. Or let's see if he ends up like in, you know, back to MLW or New Japan or wherever. But, you know, good luck to Brian Pillman Jr. I'm a fan of his. I hope he makes it. And, you know, I hope he does good things over there in WWE. I look forward to seeing him in NXT. So speaking of NXT, NXT had their premium live event last week, Great American Bash. Now, for those who don't know the history of the Great American Bash, the lineage of the Great American Bash, it was a pay-per-view that was created, the brainchild of the late great American dream, Dusty Rhodes. Dusty Rhodes created the Great American Bash back in the old NWA days. Now, for me, my memories of the Great American Bash, especially probably the most infamous, is Ric Flair kind of passing the torch to an up-and-coming Sting, and Sting becoming the WCW heavyweight champion of the world for the first time back in 1990. And it happened at the Great American Bash. He had the red, white, and blue face paint. He had the red, white, and blue tights. I actually have that figure in the box. So that's one of probably many, many, many fond memories of the Great American Bash. But that's the main one that is kind of embedded in my brain. So since WWE owns the likeness and the rights to everything WCW, NXT has kind of incorporated some of those concepts, because Dusty Rhodes was also one of the main contributors to the NXT brand as it got bigger and bigger and bigger. He helped develop a lot of the stars that we know now on the main roster for the past decade plus. Dusty Rhodes had a hand in bringing a lot of those guys up and helping develop their characters and training them and all that other stuff. So, like, you would see NXT would have, like, Halloween Havoc, or they brought back War Games, which was another Dusty Rhodes brainchild. And then, you know, like the Great American Bash, among other things. And WWE has used some of these concepts in the past for their own pay-per-views. They've had the Great American Bash before. They've had other things that WCW would have. But lately, NXT has been kind of the place where they have housed a lot of Dusty Rhodes' old ideas and concepts and pay-per-views and, you know, match types and finishes and all that other stuff. So Great American Bash was last week. And I'm just go through the card real quick, go through the results for those that haven't seen yet. And we're going to get to it. Here we go, right here. So up first, now I'm going to throw this out there. Some matches I did not see. I didn't catch the whole event, but I caught enough of it. And, you know, I know the results. So this was apparently a dark match for the pre-show. You had Nathan Frazier, Yulisa Leon, and Valentisa Feroz, with Dragon Lee defeated the Meta 4, which was Noam Dar, Jakara Jackson, Last Legend, and Oro Mensah by pinfall. 8-person mixed tag team match went about 10 and a half minutes. I'm a fan of Dragon Lee. I like Nathan Frazier. Noam Dar, honestly, I was surprised, and this is not a knock on Noam Dar, but Noam Dar seems to be one of the only survivors. Him and Gulak have seemed to be the only survivors of that 205 Live era. You know what I mean? Like, they were there during WWE's revamping of the Cruiserweight division, and then 205 Live, and then 205 Live got eaten up by NXT. And, you know, these guys are still around. So, you know, good for Noam Dar. But, yeah, they took the L on this one. with Nathan Frazier and Dragon Lee and Leon and Feroz. Then the story, the pay-per-view starts with the family, Tony D'Angelo, straight out of the pen, and Channing Stacks Lorenzo defeated Gallus for the NXT Tag Team Champions. Good for Tony D. You know, I've been a fan of D'Angelo for a while. I've seen a lot of live NXT shows in person at the Performance Center, and I've been a fan of yeah, I've always kind of been a fan of, like, the mafia gimmicks. You know what I mean? Like, you know, being a fan of the Godfather movies, being a fan of the Goodfellas and Casino and A Bronx Tale. Like I've always liked, like, you know, mobsters. You know what I mean? So you know, if you could do a good mobster gimmick, you know, like the FBI was cool. You know, the Mama Lukes in WCW was pretty cool. So, you know, Tony D, you know, I've been a fan of the family. So big ups to Tony D and Stax for becoming the new NXT Tag Team Champions. Gallus, I feel like they're good wrestlers, but they kind of put me to sleep. They're not not very charismatic, not, you know. And but like I said, I'm just a big fan of Tony D'Angelo, and I'm glad they're the new NXT Tag Team Champions. Roxanne Perez defeated Blair Davenport in a Weapons Wild match. I don't know what Weapons Wild means, but it could have just been called a weapons match and they would have been all right. Apparently this was in Roxanne Perez's hometown. This was in Texas, and her family was front row. Her little sister and her mother, who just looks just like her. Roxanne looks just like her mother in the face. So, you know, they were front row. They showed a lot of emotion. They kept panning to the family, and it was a good, hard fought, you know, brutal weapons match. It was very good. I enjoyed it a lot. Roxanne got the win with Pop Rocks on some chairs, and a very, very good win for Roxanne. And, you know, she looked at Booker T, you know, who was her trainer, and kind of gave the thumbs up, because it was kind of like, did Roxanne really have, you know, her character? Did it really have the killer instinct in her to beat this girl who was a rugged, tough athlete in a no disqualification match? And Roxanne proved that she could, and she got the win, and, you know, and she got to celebrate with her family and stuff like that. Here's a match that kind of confused me a little bit, but at the same time, I understood it. Gable Steveson made his debut. Listen, man, I was at WrestleMania 38 in Dallas, Texas, where they first trotted out Gable Steveson, okay? He had a thing with the Alpha Academy, and you know, and we all thought he was going to be, okay, Olympic gold medalist, the first one in pro wrestling since Kurt Angle. This guy could be something. He's obviously an elite athlete, an elite wrestler. But he gets drafted to Raw, right, during the draft 2 years ago. He has not been in a ring since. Where has this dude been? I've seen more of his brother, Damon Kemp, in NXT than I've seen of Gable Steveson. And now he finally has a debut match. I mean, he did the whole Raw Underground thing in NXT a couple weeks ago, but that's not a match. That's a cinematic, you know, showing. You know what I mean? He has his debut match against a guy who they're trying to reinvent, a guy who has been there through it all, Baron Corbin. You can listen to old archive footage of me from years ago. I've never really been a fan of Baron Corbin or his work. I do say that his best persona, and I can say the happy Corbin stuff, the bummy Corbin stuff, was entertaining. He's an entertaining guy. I just never really got into him. You know what I mean? The lone wolf gimmick that he had was his best, and that's because he barely spoke. He seemed like an imposing guy who can do some damage, and, you know, he had some decent moves. Like, I love the deep six move that he does, and the End of Days is pretty cool, you know? So I understand that if you're going to use a guy to make Gabe Steveson look good, Corbin's probably that guy. You know what I mean? But I just thought the timing was a little off. You're not going to debut this new guy that you're trying to establish. He's an Olympic gold medalist. You're not going to have him lose. But at the same time, you're trying to reestablish Baron Corbin. You're trying to make him a new updated version of his original Lone Wolf character. He has new music. He has a new video Titantron. He has new gear. He's in shape. You're trying to push him. And you're going to feed him to Gabe Stevenson? I don't understand the logic behind that. I'm sure there's other guys in that NXT locker room you could have used to make this guy look good. Why use a guy you're trying to push? And then the end happened. And then I said, okay, they did that finish to protect both of them? Come on, man. You can't protect both of them. I mean, you probably can. Usually you would protect one guy like in a tag, like the other guy would take the fall and it'll make it seem like the other guy is still undefeated, you know, that type of thing. But it wasn't a good match. at least for me, in my opinion, I didn't think it was a good match. Gabe looked good, obviously, with his suplexes and stuff. That's his bread and butter. He's an Olympic gold medal wrestler. Of course, his suplexes are going to look good. And Corbin took the bumps. Like, they just looked awkward. I felt like they had a good fight when the match was over. I feel like the fight after the match was better than the match during the match. You know what I mean? The interaction that they had during the actual wrestling match, I felt like the brawl afterwards was better. But it ended in a double count out. Sure. Okay. Whatever. You know, that means they're going to have another match, you know, and they'll probably give Stevenson the win. Now, you know, it's bad when the guy who's debuting that you've been waiting for forever finally gets in that ring and the crowd goes for the heel. Like, I know NXT is the smart crowd and they're the ones that are going to try to be controversial and go for the other guy. But in this case, it's logical. In this case, it makes sense. People were cheering Baron Corbin. That tells you this guy is probably not going to, at least in the short term, it might not work. But you know what? They booed Kurt Angle in the beginning too. And Kurt Angle was doing the same thing. He'll suplex you, suplex you, suplex you. And then when he started talking, eventually people caught on. The "you sucks" chant was kind of like the nugget chant for Owen Hart. It was different. It wasn't going away heat like, unfortunately, X-Pac ended up getting later on in his career. It wasn't going away heat. It was actually legitimate heat, you know? But then "you suck" became a term of a chant of endearment toward Kurt Angle, you know? Does Gabe Stevenson, and the future will tell us, if he has the charisma of a Kurt Angle? From match one, I don't think so. But like I said, it's just one match. Maybe he and Damon Kemp, his biological brother, maybe they can team up and become a nice little heel faction. Who knows? only the future we'll see. We'll see how it goes. But match one, not impressed. Up next. And you know what? I've heard this from someone else, and I agree 100%. I want to say it was from a guy who helped inspire me to actually want to be a wrestling podcaster. Kevin Castle said, "Dirty Dominic Mysterio is the best heel in the business today." I agree. I thought about it. And if this was a year ago, I would have said MJF. If this was maybe 8 months ago, I would have said MJF. But no one has the heat that Dominic Mysterio has. They don't even let the guy talk. He grabs the mic and the whole crowd starts booing. And I know sometimes a lot of those boos can seem like they're piped in, but I went to SmackDown 2 weeks ago in Orlando at the Amway Center. I was there live to see Dom defend the NXT North American title against Butch. The boos are real, ladies and gentlemen. He's the smug, you know, smug kid of a guy who built his life pretty much. Feels like he don't need to pay no dues. And he has a chick with him that 90% of simps want. You know? The boos are real, man. Dominic Mysterio has been everywhere. Everywhere. Raw, SmackDown, NXT. Dom has been the constant member of Judgment Day everywhere. And he defended the North American title. He had mommy with him. He defended against Wesley and Mustafa Ali in a triple threat match. And Dom retained the NXT North American title in a 12-minute banger of a match. And he hit a beautiful frog splash to finish it off. Compliments of Daddy Eddie. Rest in peace. It was a good match. Wesley is super, super athletic and super talented. Mustafa Ali has always been talented. And Dom is getting there. Dom is still a little bit green, but he's leaps and bounds what he was before when he first came out to team with his dad. Leaps and bounds. I think overall, as a character, he's been doing great. I have nothing really bad to say, you know? Yeah, his matches, sometimes he'll botch here and there. But he's 25. What is he, 26 years old? Huh. He has plenty of time to learn, man. He has plenty of time. You know, so it was a good match. Tiffany Stratton defeated Thea Hale. Speaking of young, 19 years old. I'm very impressed with Thea Hale. You know, and it looks like after this match, you know, the loss to Tiffany Stratton in a submission match, after Andre Chase threw in the towel at the 11-minute, 45-second mark, she is very pissed off. And Andre Chase, I believe, had a match this week on NXT. Who was it against? It was Corbin. It was Corbin. She threw the towel in for Chase. The ref didn't see it. Corbin threw the towel back at her and said, Then he hit Chase with the end of days and pinned him. And then she just walked off. She's pissed off because she didn't give up. She felt like Chase, you gave up for her, and she's, you know, she's tight. She's pissed off. 19 years old. I remember, who was it? Who also came to the WWE at 19 years old? The Kelly Kelly came to WWE at 19 years old. It's amazing. She has a long career ahead of her, hopefully. Long and prosperous, and, you know, she's a good athlete. She's very good. Main event, Carmelo Hayes with a banger of a match with Ilya Dragunov to defend the NXT championship. Carmelo is still the NXT champion. Oh, what a phenomenal match that was. Very good back and forth for 24 minutes. And yeah, I mean, what can you say? I thought Trick Williams was going to turn here. I really did. But the separation is coming because this past NXT, they had a conversation and Trick said, you know, he just, no hard feelings. He just needs to go out on his own. So I think eventually, very, very soon, Carmelo Hayes and Trick Williams will have a feud for the NXT title. I do foresee that coming because I think Carmelo Hayes really doesn't have anybody else to feud with right now. You know what I mean? Well, I take that back. And the thing is, I actually spoke to my coworker about this. I was like, well, maybe he could have a match with Wesley. He was like, "Oh, you think they'll give Wesley a shot?" I was like, "I don't know, but how much of a crazy banger would that be, you know?" And then come Tuesday night, ending the night with Melo and Wesley, you know, like after a tag match, they lost the tag match and they were looking at each other and kind of blaming each other and stuff like that. So now before the Trick Williams, I think Trick Williams might turn on Melo during probably a match with Wesley. Who knows? But it was a good night of action from NXT. And, yeah, they NXT just keeps putting out bangers, man, like they always do. Now, before I get into my SummerSlam predictions and then close out the show because I got to get the show out, AEW All In at the end of the month, Wembley Arena, London, England. obviously, when you think as a old school wrestling fan, when you think of Wembley Stadium, you automatically think SummerSlam 1992. You think of Bret Hart and Davey Boy Smith, the British Bulldog, Intercontinental title to close out the night in a classic match. It's funny because if you really look at the whole card, it wasn't really that impressive compared to the main event. Let's see off the top of my head. I'm not even reading. The Ultimate Warrior challenged Macho Man Randy Savage for the WWF title. And the whole thing was, the whole storyline behind it was who was in the pocket of Ric Flair and Mr. Perfect Curt Hennig. Who would join up with these heels to get an advantage over the other guy to become WWE champion? It just so happened it was none of them. And Ric Flair and Mr. Perfect had their own agenda, and they were going to beat up both guys. It ended up being, I think, Ultimate Warrior won by countout. In a terrible finish. What else? We had The Undertaker versus Kamala. Kamala lost by DQ and kept attacking The Undertaker. Then The Undertaker got up after three splashes and walked him, chased him down, stalked him. He didn't chase him. He didn't run back then. I remember an opening that was Money Incorporated, Ted DiBiase and Irwin R. Scheister against the Road Warriors. They came out in motorcycles with Paul Ellering and a hand puppet. Oh no, a ventriloquist puppet named Rocco, if I remember correctly. Then another tag match. You had the Natural Disasters defending. Were they the tag team champions? I want to say they were the tag team champions. I want to say they were the tag champs, and they were defending against the Beverly Brothers, who was managed by Lanny Poffo, the genius. yeah, so the card was kind of whatever, but it is always memorable because of Davey Boy Smith and Bret the Hitman Hart. Now, we got one match so far for All In, and the pay-per-view is about 2 or 3 weeks away. And it's main. I don't know if it's going to be the main event, but it is for the AEW World title. It is MJF defending against Adam Cole. They both were a tag team in this tag team kind of tournament that they had going. They lost to FTR in the finals. Well, it wasn't the finals. They won the damn thing, and then they had a shot at FTR for the tag titles. They lost. Everybody thought MJF was going to turn on Adam Cole. It turned out to be the opposite, and he didn't turn on Adam Cole. And they're still best of friends, and MJF gives Adam Cole a shot at the world title. People online have been making a comparison of a hug that these two gave each other Wednesday night. Adam Cole gave MJF a hug, and he kind of balled his fist and tapped MJF on the back. Now, a lot of people are equating this to NXT years ago when Adam Cole gave Roderick Strong the same style of hug with his fist balled up and him tapping him on the back, which led to Adam Cole giving Roddy Strong a low blow, and he started beating him down. People are equating this to Adam Cole saying, "I'm going to stab you in the back." It could be nothing, or it could be something. Adam Cole has been... It's very rare that Adam Cole's a babyface in his career. Very rare. It doesn't usually last long. MJF, I don't remember him ever being a babyface. Either one of them could turn on each other at any moment, but the way they're playing this story out is leaning toward an Adam Cole heel turn. I could see Adam Cole turning on MJF and becoming AEW heavyweight champion in London, England. I could see it happening. Will it happen? Don't know, but that's just a quick early prediction. And then I don't know how this is going to play in with CM Punk, who just recently started doing Ric Flair's "I'm the Real World Champion" gimmick on Collision. So we'll see how that all plays out. But I'm intrigued. I'm excited for it, and I can't wait to see it. And I'm wondering what matches, other matches they're going to put together to fill this Wembley Arena card. So with that being said, let's move on to SummerSlam from Detroit, Michigan, the home of Big Sexy. So here are the matches. I don't know if they're going to be any particular order, but I'm going by the order they have it on the wiki. So they have a Slim Jim SummerSlam Battle Royal. Whatever. I guess they're being they're back with partnering with Slim Jim, apparently. They only have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. They only have 6 guys so far for this 20-man Battle Royal. I'm assuming tonight on SmackDown they'll announce the rest, and there'll probably be some surprises. There's a rumor going around that my man Steve told me about the other day that Bobby Roode could be making a comeback. I'm hoping he's good. Apparently he's in Detroit. Hopefully we have a glorious return at this Battle Royal. So far we have LA Knight, Sheamus, Tommaso Ciampa, Shinsuke Nakamura, Otis, and Chad Gable of the Alpha Academy. Obviously my initial pick is going to be LA Knight. Yeah, but we'll see. We don't know who else is in it. I can't really give a real prediction. Just by the names I'm seeing here, I'm going to go with the most over dude in the company right now. We have an MMA rules match. These never work. But we're going to have Ronda Rousey, which is probably going to be her last match until, you know, she's done, I guess. I don't know if it's true. She's getting another fight in the UFC. Good for her. Let's see how that goes. But she's going to take the L here to Shayna Baszler. She's going to let her friend get over on her way out. She's going to do the honors, and she's going to walk away. Will this help Shayna Baszler? Who knows? It depends how this match looks. A MMA rules match in the WWE, the closest thing I could think of is the dungeon match or the fake octagon match that they had with Owen Hart and Steve Blackman, and or Ken Shamrock and Steve Blackman, I want to say, was in that match. And Owen Hart and Ken Shamrock in the dungeon. I don't know what this is going to entail. I don't know what it's going to look like. Either way, there's no way Ronda Rousey's getting that W. So Shayna Baszler's winning that. You got Gunther going up against Drew McIntyre defending the Intercontinental title. I'm glad that Drew's back, but I don't see Gunther losing this belt right now. He has to break that record held by the Honky Tonk Man, okay? We cannot keep going on with this longest reigning IC title record being held by the Honky Tonk Man, okay? Let's get that over with, please. So I'm picking Gunther. You got Ricochet going against Logan Paul. I hate to say it, guys, but Logan Paul has to get a win here. I think this is going to be a crazy match. There's going to be a lot of stunts. There's going to be a lot of high-flying craziness going on. Keep bringing this guy in. He's not going to keep – he's not – you know, I don't know. Honestly, this is a toss-up for me. I don't know. I would love for Ricochet to get a win on a big pay-per-view like this. And he just might. You know, I'm retracting. I'm going to go with Ricochet. Because it'll be real fun to hear Samantha Irvin yell, Ricochet! You know, it'll be... I'm going with Ricochet. Screw that crap. And Prime sucks. Asuka, Charlotte, Flair, Bianca Belair, triple threat match for the women's title. I say keep the belt on Asuka right now. Now, the only reason I'm not saying Io Sky is going to cash in is because I think a different person is going to cash in later on in the night, probably in the next match, because Seth freaking Rollins versus Finn Balor for the World Heavyweight Championship. You know what? this match happened in 2016 and Finn Balor won. And the next night he had to relinquish the title due to injury. I think history kind of repeats itself just in a different way. I see Finn Balor beating Seth freaking Rollins for the World Heavyweight Championship just to get cashed on by Damian Priest. And I feel Damian Priest is walking out of SummerSlam the World Heavyweight Champion. Then we're going to get a little feud with Priest and Balor, which will be pretty cool. It's just my opinion. Just my opinion. Cody Rhodes, Brock Lesnar. In a regular match. I mean, sure. They've had street fights and all of the crazy matches just to end the story between these two in a regular wrestling match. Cody has to win. He just has to. He's not going to lose against Brock. Brock already got his win back. They're going to move on from each other. Cody has to get this win to get momentum going into later on into WrestleMania season. He has to get it. Because if Cody's going to have any championship down the road, it starts tonight. Oh, not tonight. It starts tonight. It starts tomorrow night. He beats Brock Lesnar, and he goes on to whatever feud that he has next, going into Survivor Series season and then leaking into the Rumble, which hopefully is in Florida. Please make it happen. And then and then on to WrestleMania season. So I pick Cody. Main event. This has to be the main event. It just has to be. It will be. Roman Reigns with the Wise Man and Solo Sikoa versus Jey Uso for the Undisputed Universal Championship and the recognition of being called the Tribal Chief against main event Jey Uso. You know, I said LA Knight earlier was probably the most over guy in the company. Jey Uso is right next to him. You know, the story started with Jey Uso. If anything, it started with Bray, which a lot of people have been saying maybe Bray will make an appearance. I don't know. I don't know what state of mind Bray Wyatt is in right now. I don't know what talks he's had with WWE. I have no idea. Could he pop up? Sure. But do I realistically see Jey Uso walking out with the championship? No. No, I don't. Should he? I mean, it'll be cool to see. It'll be a sight to see. Well, another thing that my boy Steve, you know, host of the S&D podcast, showed me was how long it has to take for Roman to reach Hogan. It's like the end of next year. That's too long, bro. That's too long, man. I don't know if I could stand Roman being champ another year and change. I can't do it. I don't think I could do it. Is it a possibility? Absolutely it is. I mean, it's gone this long. But, you know, my heart is with Jey Uso. But you know what? Now thinking about it, how crazy would it be if Balor beats Seth and Damian doesn't cash in, but Damian cashes in on Jey Uso? Huh. What if that happens? Then Judgment Day has every major championship for the most part. Women's World title, NXT North American title, WWE World Heavyweight title, and Undisputed Universal title. And then the Judgment Day just runs everything. That'd be dope too. But we will see. We will see. It's very intriguing. Money in the Bank cash-ins are always very intriguing, especially on big shows. And SummerSlam, just like Mania, people make returns. You remember a couple years back, you know, Bayley, Io Shirai, Dakota Kai, Lesnar, Becky Lynch, all these returns happened at SummerSlam. Who could return? I already mentioned Bobby Roode, mentioned Bray Wyatt. Who else could show up? The Rock. Who knows? Who knows? But my heart is with Jay, but my brain is telling me Roman Reigns. So that's where we're at with that. I know I left y'all with nothing there, but whatever. It should be a great show. Very fun, and I'm excited for it. So there you go. Those are my predictions for SummerSlam. I'm going to attempt to do a post show with a homeboy of mine from work who's a diehard wrestling fan, a fellow wrestling aficionado. Hopefully I can get him on. And it'll be a new guest to the show. So we'll see. We'll try to get that going. So, yeah, this was episode 74 of the Jay's Week in Wrestling podcast. I want to thank everybody for checking it out. I'll be back, like I said, hopefully for a post show. That'll be episode 75. And with that episode, we'll get more in-depth into everything that's going on. Like, I'm dying to talk about Dark Side of the Ring this past season that's been going on. We'll get into all the craziness with SummerSlam, and we'll talk about what we think will happen in the future. So with that being said, I am Jay. Thank you, everybody, for checking it out. I hope everyone has a great rest of the weekend. Enjoy SummerSlam, and I'll catch y'all next time with episode 75 of the Jay's Week in Wrestling podcast. Thank you for listening. God bless.